Hey, Hound Dogs, I'm David Hankins.
And I'm Paul Hankins.
Welcome to On the Air with Power Squared. We're bringing back somebody for the first non-Power Squared family member back on the show. Lucas Scheffel, right? And you are live from some undisclosed spot in Australia.
That's correct. Yes, some undisclosed spot in Australia. Yeah, top secret.
Because you're actually in a caravan.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, you admit that. No one's going to be able to find you. It's okay.
I'm running away. Running away from the authorities.
That's right. There's a knock on the door. We'll understand.
Suit might come in. Just warning you. Yeah.
So we'll get to that life choice in a little while. We first met you through Kickstarter. You backed how it worked?
Yeah, that's right.
And you bought issue number 8 of Power Squared?
That's correct, yeah.
And you've read that?
Yes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I need to buy more of your guys' comics.
That was our next step. Yeah. We're getting ready to put out issue 11, so you probably want to catch up.
Anyway. All right, we're going to catch up. Right.
Yeah, cool. All right. So we'll let that lie for right now. So you are getting ready to do your second Kickstarter.
That's right. Yes. So last year I launched Angry Squad Code Angry, which was the first installment, which you guys have there. Cool. Awesome. And that was sort of a tribute to my late dad, Fred, who is basically based around that character, Angry Fred. And that saw the Angry Squad go on their first journey. And introduce Angry Fred as a character and looked at his background. And so now I want to sort of continue that journey and create another standalone book called Angry Squad. And this one's called Viva Los Angry. It sort of pays a little bit of tribute to me and my stupid obsession with Elvis Presley as a kid. and the zany movies that I, all these movies I watched and I fell in love with as a kid.
They're all classics.
And so... Oh, they are. They're real classics. I just love it. I love it how he's driving down, the road in Hawaii in a red convertible with a girl and singing. And there's all this noise and music happening in the background. It's quite funny. But I wanted to take my love of that and sort of mash it with the Angry Squad and take some elements of like the Viva Las Vegas story. That Elvis started with Anne Margaret and sort of take some elements of that and characters and put them into my book and send Angry Fred and his squad to Vegas basically to stop a deluded soldier from wreaking havoc across the city, but do it in a 1960s Elvis movie where the heroine's fate is decided by a car race through the desert at the end.
That's sort of the
elements of an Elvis movie. You got singing, him chasing girls, and there's always he's always a race car driver or something.
Plays guitar at night in a band. It's a normal American life.
I wasn't sure. you guys are funny. that's the next one.
How did this come about? You've obviously had this thought for a while.
After launching the last last year's Kickstarter and the Code Angry, the Angry Squad, I just sort of sat down and started writing this next one and this, sort of wrote out an outline and sort of pieced together a bunch of sort of plot lines and stories and sort of set pieces. And I was like, no, I want to do this. So I don't know. It sort of just came to me and I was just sort of pulling from personal things that I love. Like I said before, the Elvis thing that I was obsessed with. And
have you been to Vegas?
No, I haven't been to Vegas. No, I've been to LA. Yeah.
LA. Is this based on a sort of a 50s, 60s version of Vegas from Elvis Presley movies?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's the sort of thing. Yeah. That sort of style. Yeah. Yeah. So fast cars, cool looking, crazy colored cars and, nice looking clothes and all that sort of thing. So, yeah.
So, are you taking lessons that you learned in the first Kickstarter and applying them?
It's funny you say that. You said that to me before we were on the call, when I'm a bit unorganized this time, and I haven't really learned my lessons too much, but from being organized. But I've got a lot going on in my life in the background, so I guess I need to be a little bit less harsh on myself. And I know it's not a marathon; just taking my time is good. But I have learned a lot of lessons in the way of in the way of pre-launch, and maybe doing a little bit more on social media to get a bit more buzz around it. So my originally what I was last year, what I was going to do was I wanted to release this book, this Kickstarter, in March, and it's March now, and I've sort of fallen behind the eight ball a little bit. And so I'm looking to launch it in July of this year.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so that's my main aim in the next three
So this is a
months.
big preview then. Way
It's
ahead.
preview, yeah,
Yeah.
it's way ahead. So up until then, I'll be sharing more pages on social media of the comic book, and going into the story and sharing characters and that sort of thing, and trying to get my pre-launch page up to maybe, I don't know, 50 followers or more. At the moment, I think it's like at 29 followers. So yeah, build up the story, build up the momentum, and then go from there. But yeah, I have learned a lot of things. Just being prepared is one thing, and I think right now I'm not 100% prepared, but I want to show that I've got skin in the game, and that I've got everyone's best interests at heart when it comes to launching this next one. So
Okay, so
yeah,
you want to sh you have some pages you wanted to share with us?
I do. Yes, I do. Let me bring it up, and I'll let me see. So I'm going to share two pages. I'll share the first one. Can you guys see that one there? Yeah.
We can. Yes.
Yes. Okay, cool. So this page here, obviously the artwork is done by Martin Pousseau, who was the Variant cover artist on the first Angry Squad.
I was going to ask you if you're
So
using the same people.
I'm going with Martin this time. Just 'cause I like his his artwork and his style, and he kept pestering me as well. He wanted to be involved in this next one too. So,
All right.
but I've got a good relationship with him as well. So, yeah, we've been sort of working back and forth on some of the pages so forth. And this page here is starts off earlier in the story, and it's sort of a drag race. Well, Angry Fred's going back to headquarters to meet the Angry Squad, and he sort of pulls out up a set of traffic lights next to sort of a young guy in like a sort of a Toyota Supra, sort of like a fancier car than his. And I think Angry Fred's in some sort of like old Mercury of some sort. I think that's what the car is, from what we discussed. And basically, he has a drag race. And I guess in this scene, I'm trying to show how Angry Fred's trying to fit into a younger world, a world that's sort of leaving him behind, so to speak, and how he can sort of still have a place in that place in this
Right, yeah,
world.
he's
So,
trying. Yeah, I'm still vibrant, right? And yeah.
still vibrant, still has a sort of place. And there's something that happens at the end of this scene that's shows sort of a bit of heart, and he's still got a bit of soul, and still he's still relevant.
Okay.
So yeah, that's that page. I do have another page that I can show. Just quickly, the one that follows that.
All right. So
There, here we
is the book
go.
complete?
Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. The book isn't complete, no. It's about
Lost your share.
maybe. Sorry, whoop. Sorry, guys.
Sorry.
Hang on, I'll just keep the.
So the book is not complete yet.
No, it's not complete. The script is complete.
Right.
The artwork's not complete at the moment. Originally, I wanted to launch this campaign where the artwork wasn't complete. Like there'd be like 10 or so pages done,
Right.
and then we'd kickstart the rest. But in the back of my mind, I just feel like I want to show that I've got skin in the game, and the book's 100% complete, and then I can focus on getting it out to everyone and so forth. So I don't know. I just prefer it that way. Can you guys see that? No.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, technical difficulties all the way from Australia. Things take a long time. Here we go. Is that, can you see that now?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So this page happens during the drag race that Angry Fred has with this young guy. And you can see here, obviously, Angry Fred doesn't get a clean start off the start line, and the young kid is quite happy about that. But
Yeah.
then Angry Fred's got a bit of a trick up his sleeve. He's got a bit of a switch that helps give his car a bit of an advantage. So yeah, that's that page there.
All
So
right.
these pages obviously will be colored soon. For now, we're just showing inked
Right.
pages. Yeah, so
So you're starting this
there's
in
that. Oh.
July.
July, the Kickstarter. So I'm turning 40 years old in July, and I thought, what better way than to turn 40 is to release this? Like last year, I actually launched Code Angry on my birthday. And so I think I might keep the tradition up with this one and launch this one on my birthday. So 22nd of July is when I'm going to be launching this
Okay.
Kickstarter for this one. So.
So we're on the we've liked your preview page,
Awesome. Thank you.
so we'll wait
Awesome.
until
Thanks very
July.
much.
It's a long
Yeah.
time away,
Sorry.
jeez.
I'll make it worth it, guys. I'll make it
Okay.
worth it.
So have you thought about the tiers you're gonna have?
Yeah, all that is almost planned out. I'm thinking of giving away or having a reward such as books from the previous campaign is obviously one. I'm looking at three different covers for this current campaign. It's obviously a standard cover, and there'll be two variant covers. Which one cover is going to be a homage to Viva Las Vegas? So, if you're familiar with the Viva Las Vegas poster that features Elvis Presley and Anne Margaret on it, it's quite iconic, I
I
guess.
haven't
I'm
looked
going
at it
to
in a while,
replace.
but
Yeah. I'm going to replace Angry Fred in Elvis's spot, and then have the love interest that shows up in this story where Anne Margaret is, and then change what we see in the background to sort of Angry Fred, water skiing with his love interest and race doing race cars and
I
stuff like
see.
that.
Okay.
In that, and then the other one is I'm going to do a tribute cover to Action Comics number one. The one where Superman's holding
Yeah.
up
We
the
already
green
we had an
car.
homage to that in our first issue, yeah.
Oh,
So,
beautiful.
yeah.
Ah, oh, beautiful, of course.
You would know that if
Fantastic.
you'd read the first issue, but it's okay. You'll get there, I'm
Sorry,
sure. You'll
guys.
get there.
Sorry, guys.
That's all
Oh,
right. It hurts, but it's
I'm getting
okay.
hammered. So I'm going to do that.
That's cool.
Do a homage to that
With and I assume Angry
as a
Fred
reward.
is the
Yeah,
Superman
he's going to be
character.
holding up a, yeah, holding up a car of some sort,
That's
and yeah,
cool.
that sort of thing. So
So,
yeah.
is his love
Did
interest?
do you guys? Could, sorry,
Go
sorry.
ahead.
Go.
No,
Go. Keep
ask
going.
your
Yeah.
question. Sorry.
No, I was just curious when you did the homage to that. Did you kickstart that? When did?
No.
No, you didn't. No.
We,
Okay,
we've
cool.
only done one Kickstarter,
Yeah, right.
even though
Okay.
we've had 10 issues out. So, or and
Yeah.
we're getting ready to put
Okay,
out the
cool.
11th again without a Kickstarter. We are
Yeah,
thinking about
nice.
kickstarting one later.
Yeah.
We have a
Yep.
one shot called How They Met, which kind of gives you the kind of how the boys met Mocha. And
Nice.
so yeah, we thought that would be kind of a we'll do something there and do something around schools and things like that.
Yeah.
So we
Yeah.
haven't figured any of that out yet, but
Yeah, no, that sounds awesome. Yeah, I've had a range of people contact me just through my Facebook page, asking, so like in my previous Angry Squad Code Angry, there was a cover, and one guy was asking, is that a tribute to Action Comics 1? I was like, oh no, it's not. And it's like I'm a collector, and I like getting on this thing. If there's homages or tribute covers, I'll go out and buy them and stuff like that. So that's one audience I'm sort of looking at as well, sort of
No,
tapping
that's
into.
we've
Yeah.
been watching some Kickstarter, how to do your Kickstarter kind of videos, webinars or whatever.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And recently, like as of we watched one this today, as a matter of fact,
Okay.
trying to figure out, it really depends. Yeah, supposedly those homage covers are a real big deal.
Yeah,
This one,
yeah. Okay.
This one guy just, you know, swears up and down by them and stuff. But he also has,
oh, right.
He also has it where he'll put you on the cover and in the,
right. And right. Have a,
I don't have that much
you
money.
You can pay to be on there. Yeah. Yeah,
or that's pay to be right. In yeah. It. You know, like, okay.
Yes.
You know,
wow. Yes. All then, those tears. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. You have to go back and redo it. I'm done. You know, I'm not going back.
Yeah. Right.
So I understand. But those are probably a good idea. We're thinking about something we could do with our, you know, have more than one cover variant.
Yeah.
And you should have are you have any stretch goals in mind? I mean.
Yeah, there will be stretch goals this time. I haven't thought that far ahead when it comes to that. But that's something I'm definitely planning on doing. Whether that's it could be anything like adding some more pages or special prints.
The thing this guy was recommending today was that you make them digital,
right?
Because you'll have people ordering digital deliver. And then physical. But if you give a digital person physical, I didn't want that.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, okay. That was just a suggestion. Pass it on. You can do it.
I like it. I like it. It's easy to deal with as well.
Yeah. Digital's pretty easy.
So much easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you showed us your samples. So how long does it put? You're still putting this together. How long have you been working on the comic?
Probably the start of the year. I started writing it. My writing process is interesting. I sort of sit down and just brain dump a lot of stuff, just all my ideas down into a scratch pad of notes, and then I'll go back through it, and then I'll do an outline to the point I'll just scene number them, outline them, and that'll, you know, I think I was working on that for a good month, just doing that and just outlining all the scenes and so how many scenes and what would happen just in chronological order. And then I'd go back. And then I'll take those scenes and then I break them down into my panels and write what I want in the panels and the dialogue and so forth, and even sketch out just on a bit of paper myself how many panels per page, just for my own reference to pass on to Martin. I would say on and off probably since the start of the year I've been working on it, because I've been doing other things as well in the background, which you know about. But
if you want to talk about that, let's talk. You're living in a caravan.
I'm living in a caravan. Yeah.
I was watching on Instagram. You're fixing up this caravan. I didn't realize and we're moving into it.
But yeah, that was the other thing. Yeah.
That's so a big deal.
It was a big deal. So in February of last year, my partner Julie and I went out and bought a 1975 Millard caravan. They were quite a popular caravan here in Australia back in the 70s. And so we went out and bought this van, and the van was okay. It had its original furniture and stuff in it. And someone had done their own renovation on top of that and painted it up and so forth. And we were going to do some light work to it, just a couple of things, maybe pull out a cupboard, mm-hmm. put in something else. And then after not inspecting it too well when we bought it, my young son Phoenix and his cousin came over and they were jumping on the back bed, and the bed went through the floor.
So, little rust spot there.
There's something right here. So after inspecting a little bit more, there was a little bit of water damage in parts of the floors and stuff. Uh-huh. And so we sort of made the call then, would and then COVID sort of hit, everything was locked down, and we sort of made the call, okay, we're going to be spending a lot of time at home, let's just rip the whole thing out. So I basically ripped the whole thing out, and it was just a tin can, and I started from scratch, fixing up the van and putting in walls, putting in furniture, painting it and doing all that. So it took a year exactly, or just on weekends and then on just in afternoons when I had some time. Wow. Outside of work and family time. And then about a month ago, we decided to give up our rental property and put a bunch of stuff in storage and sell most of our belongings and move into this thing. And we're exploring Australia right now. So
where are you in Australia at the moment?
At the moment, I'm actually in New South Wales in a town called Glen Innes. And funnily enough, we're sort of near where all the flooding happened recently here in Australia. We actually had a funny story. We're sort of not in the areas that have been really flooded. Like, my heart goes out to all those people that lost their houses and, like, you know, all the, it's like totally underwater.
Wow.
We're not far from there. So last week, we were at a place called Tenterfield, which was probably about 2 hours away from here. And we're staying at a campground, and there was a creek behind us. And the night before I went to bed, the creek was flowing okay. And it had been raining quite a lot with what had gone on. It had just constant rain nonstop for like a few days. We got woken up at like 4 a.m. in the morning by the caretaker to say, we've got to get everyone out. And there were 6 of us lined up against this creek, and the creek was really high and coming up behind our caravans.
Oh.
So we had to mad rush to get out, and we had to drive to the, well, we were going to drive to another area that they'd sort of had for us to evacuate to, but a lot of us weren't sure, because there was a bridge that went over it. And if that bridge looked like it was going to sort of flood as well. So we decided to drive on to another town and just stay dry. But so that was a little bit of an excitement for us. Yeah. I guess.
Are you keeping a journal of what you're doing?
Well, yeah, I'm a videographer and editor, so that's my sort of background and stuff. So I'm video editing everything as well. So that's our journey.
It can make an interesting, you know, story.
Yeah.
Or,
it is.
Years on the road or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. My partner, she's got a blog called simply-julianne.com. And we're creating video episodes there that we're putting up on there for people to view. So yeah, that's where that's all going. So
I'm just saying, eventually may have a book of travels or something.
Yeah, yeah, we've taken lots of photos and writing everything down. So yeah,
that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah,
are you planning to do this for a couple of years?
I think a couple of years, and the main aim of this is just to obviously explore Australia because it's a big country. We've done a little bit of driving, but we've never taken it slow enough to see parts of this country. Mm. So we want to see as much as we can, and then we want to find maybe a place that sits with us, that we can go buy, maybe a property with a house.
The little map behind you, which is Australia, where are you?
Yes.
I mean, not everybody. Jeez, I'm sorry.
You're testing me.
Yeah, well, everybody has a geographical knowledge of Australia.
Yeah, so I can't actually pull this map off because it's stuck.
That's
on the wall,
fine.
But, we're sort of just here-ish,
okay.
In New South Wales. So, okay. So we came from up here in outside of Brisbane,
right?
And then we've driven sort of inland. Actually, the first thing we did, we didn't actually drive down. We actually drove up the way. Sorry, we drove up the way to where it was nice and hot. Up to a place called Woodgate, and we saw it was just too hot because we wanted to go inland, and there's all these dinosaur trails up here where they found dinosaur fossils, but it was
cool.
Way too hot, but we're going to do that later. So we decided to come back down and just sort of sit into New South Wales for a bit, and we actually want to go over to South Australia over here where my mum is living. So so that's what we're doing.
Well, just for people that don't have a geographical knowledge of Australia. So you're saying that you were telling us earlier that COVID doesn't really exist there.
Well,
now that you're rid of Tom Hanks, it's all clear.
Well, yeah, Tom, yeah. You've got all the actors are out here at the moment. It's quite funny seeing.
Well, because it's COVID free, right?
It's COVID. It's But not to the point where obviously in Australia's pretty strict with who they're bringing in from overseas in hotel quarantine. Anyone that comes in from overseas, they put into hotel quarantine for 14 days. And they are pretty strict with that. So there's been a few cases in those examples, but they're obviously in isolation. And obviously there's still social distancing going on. We have to check in on apps if we're in restaurants and certain places that serve food, hand sanitizing and all that sort of thing. So people are still wary of it. But the cases are very minimal compared to, say, like what you guys are dealing with in the US and so forth. So
we screwed that up pretty good.
You'll get on top of it, though. Yeah,
I hope so. I think we are.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, if we have a president that wants to actually do something about it.
Yes, you have a new president since last time we talked. You didn't. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank God for that.
Yes.
We don't get political, but you know,
part of that. No.
So, are you having vaccinations down there, or are you just guys just not going to worry about it?
No, they've rolled it out. When did they roll it out? I think they rolled it out at the start of February. And obviously, it's like like you guys, it's for the people that need it, like the older people and, you know, the frontline workers and that sort of thing. So that's what they're doing in that respect. Yeah.
Yep. Are you guys going to have, you know, it's a big deal up here that they're not going to have Comic-Con again this year.
Yeah.
And are you guys going to have conventions down there, or is that still kind
it's, of? It's interesting you say that. No, it's actually happening right now. There are a lot of, I think there was a couple of places in Canberra and Melbourne that are starting to do it. I know we have a thing called Supernova here. That was a big comic book convention type thing. Like you guys have like Comic-Con. And that's happening, I believe, I think it's in May of this year. They're going ahead with it. And I'm pretty sure I was looking at some social posts of some friends of mine in that space, and they've been at conventions recently, sort of smaller ones. That, you know, so it's getting slowly back on the road in that respect.
We're just worried here that they're going to open it up and then, oh, yeah, there's all these variants we don't, you know.
Yeah, it goes crazy. Yeah, that's... Yeah. That's one thing.
But yeah. So yeah, there's no WonderCon this year. That's virtual going on now. Virtual. And then Comic-Con is not happening.
Yeah.
Not doing happening. Something in November, but it's kind of
to be announced.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of close to the holidays, and I don't know if I want to go to San Diego for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And,
true.
I think we have tickets for Los Angeles Comic-Con, which is a separate thing, but I'm not sure that's going to happen either. That's in September.
Okay. Yeah.
September.
So you never know. I mean, if they're acting like everybody's going to be vaccinated by, you know, summer or the end of summer,
right?
Hopefully.
Mm.
I mean, that's what they like to do. And then
that's all they're too. Yeah.
There's also,
we're at least trying to get to herd immunity.
Yeah. We're trying to 70%.
70%.
And then there's always the idiot fringe that doesn't want to get vaccinated or doesn't believe this is actually. I don't know if you have those kind of people in Australia or not. They don't believe it's
they're
actually.
They're everywhere.
What COVID? You know.
Anyway.
Yeah. I don't talk about that too much. So you really don't have any. So you're just traveling around and.
Yeah, we don't have a permanent address. We're just traveling around, meeting a lot of grey nomads on the road, and they're giving us advice on how to park caravans and, you know, so, places to visit, that sort of thing.
How many square feet are you living in?
Ah, that is a good question. I actually don't. It's a 16-foot caravan, so it's 16-foot in length, and I'd say, I don't know how many feet wide it would be. I'm not sure. So I work in meters. I don't know. I'm not sure. I know it's 16-foot because it's meters. Yeah. Everyone, these things, when they came out, obviously we hadn't gone into changed our system when these things were released. But it's 16 foot long. So you know, it's probably a couple of meters wide, maybe. So I'm not sure what
conversion
is on that. So
I don't know. 1,000 square feet or 100, I mean, a couple hundred square feet
maybe.
Or something. Yeah.
Maybe something like that. Yeah. Wow. So
is that,
we've got our kid. Yeah.
Is that, a lot of family togetherness? I mean,
it's a lot of family togetherness, but we've always been quite adaptable and quite tight knit as a family. So we've done a lot together and lived in quite small houses and apartments in the past. So yeah, it's, you know, at times it does. Maybe it does get a bit testing, but you just go outside and enjoy nature, you know, embrace that. So,
Are there any, this is just one big room?
Yeah, it's one big room. So basically in this, we have a large kitchen bench with a sink and a, you call it a faucet, don't you? Like a faucet that you turn on for water?
For water. Yeah.
Yeah. We call it a tap here.
Well, yeah. Okay.
A tap. Yeah. Tap. Is that the same? Yeah. And we've got a big sort of double bed at the back, and then we've got a bunk bed where my son Phoenix sleeps, and then we've got a lounge where I'm sitting now that wraps around the front of the van, so with a little table at it. So yeah.
And your family's hiding somewhere?
They're out. It's funny, we're camping at a showground here, and there's the community here having like a car boot sale. Like they rocked up at like really early when I woke up this morning. I'm like, what are all these people doing here? But they're selling all their, I don't know, their secondhand use goods.
They call those swap meets.
So they're checking out that.
Yeah.
Swap meet. Yeah. That sort of thing. So, yeah, that's where they are.
So, are you this is the issue you haven't, have you worked on the next issue you're going to do, or do you plan to do a third issue of Angry Fred?
I think this Viva Los Angry will be, I don't think there'll be anything, well, there will be in the future, there'll be probably another issue after that, but for now I'm probably going to just focus on this one. And then the next thing I want to focus on is like a standalone Angry Fred story, where it's a little bit more darker and grittier, and we're just looking at Angry Fred himself, sort of looking at that character and looking at him as maybe a cleaner type guy who goes in after hitmen do their thing, and he goes in. But the angle I want to take is like he's an old aging go-to guy who's actually starting to lose his memory, so he's got a bit of Alzheimer's or dementia, and sort of play into that and see how that sort of focus goes on. So
and this character was based loosely, I assume, on your dad.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I say loosely because
he wasn't an angry guy.
Right. You don't seem like an angry person people, either, though. So it's sort of...
No. I'm not angry. No, yeah. Well, I don't.
So you're planning to keep doing Angry Fred for a while, at least.
I do. Yes, for a while. There is... I'd like to build that universe out in that respect. But there is another part of Angry Fred comics that I had touched on when I started, and I wrote an 11-page comic called Outlaws of Oz, and it was a story about Ned Kelly and the Green Sash.
Sorry, say that again. And that, you kind of broke up.
It's called Outlaws of Oz,
mm-hmm.
and it's like it's called the Bushranger Chronicles, and it's called Ned Kelly and the Green Sash.
Okay.
And that was just a fun story that I sort of wrote. That I was testing out my comic book, my jump into the comic book space. And that was a story of taking, like, you know, Ned Kelly, the famous bushranger in Australia, and putting like a sort of fun, sort of adventure, sort of escapism, sort of spin on it, where he meets, an alien in the bush and who helps him craft his helmet. His famous helmet that he uses in his final sort of stand at Glenrowan. And I've had a bit of interest in that. There's like a lot of people here in Australia that like the whole bushranger culture, and they've read that comic and they want to see more. And my plan with that is to take that first Ned Kelly story and then team Ned Kelly up with all these other famous bushrangers in Australia that have, you know, existed, and create a sort of bushranger sort of comic book universe out of that, but with that fun escapism sort of spin on them. And it's interesting going on these travels here, and especially in this state, in New South Wales in Australia, we're actually coming across sites where bushrangers hid out. There's one bushranger here who used to run around here called Thunderbolt. And we went to his hideout, which was this crazy sort of looking cave. And then he's got like a cave down the way. And then his graveyard is not too far from here as well. So these things are inspiring me to write these stories as well, which is really cool. And I can dig more into the history of that too.
So bushrangers are basically outlaws?
Outlaws, what you guys would call outlaws, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So because bushranger sounds like they're kind of on the side of the law. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Walker Texas Ranger, doesn't it? Yeah, like Chuck Norris or something. Yeah.
What's weird is you've got a lot of American references and Australian ones, and we just have the American references. You know?
Yes.
I mean, I basically know that Ned Kelly was in Mick Jagger was in a movie, Ned Kelly.
He was, yes. Yeah. Yes.
That's, yeah, you know, he that's was. About it. I don't think I actually saw the movie, but I know he was an outlaw in Australia.
He was. It's funny you said that. Dennis Hopper played came over here and played a bushranger called Mad Dog Morgan. And if you look into the story of that, it's quite a funny story, because the whole time Dennis Hopper was here, I don't think he remembered any of it because he was so high and just drunk that he was the character pretty much. Yeah.
The fun American. Yeah.
Random note.
So are you a real into the, I mean, are you into bushrangers? I mean, is that a...
I am kind of, I remember going through when I cleaned my parents' house up. I totally forgot about this. When I cleaned my parents' place up a few years ago, I actually found a bunch of books that I had as a kid. And I was, and I had done drawings of like Ned Kelly and all these famous bushrangers. And yeah, I was quite into it. And I totally forgot, sort of slipped my mind. And then as soon as I started reading and those books again and looking at the drawings I did, I was like, oh, this, you know, this is really interesting. And, you know, Ned, I think Ned Kelly has obviously is well known in Australia and maybe overseas as well. But there's all these other sort of bushrangers that have, in our history that not many people know about. So it would be good to share that with them.
You know, I mean, we have, you know, these outlaws from the old West. I mean, what is the era of the bushranger?
I think there's three eras of the bushrangers here in Australia. Obviously, when Captain Cook came out and colonized, you know, came out, you know, the first fleet and stuff. There was a bunch of bushrangers then, and then, sorry, I'm not really good with the whole errors and the times, you know, what years and so forth.
That's all right. We won't be able to quiz you, you know. Well, we've done a lot of research on bushrangers.
I'm a bit
bit rusty. That's on the wrong answer. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but there's definitely three. So when the first fleet came out, there was a bunch, and then sort of
wasn't all of Australia bushrangers? I mean, wasn't it settled as a penal colony?
Well, it said it was a penal colony, so a lot of convicts, yeah.
It was all bushrangers.
Well, it depends where you go. So, like, Queensland, so here, so I've got the map, actually. Okay. Queensland, New South Wales, obviously Victoria and Tasmania were all sort of settled on, you know, as a penal colony with convicts and so forth. Obviously, Tasmania's got a rich history of, like, convicts being thrown there because it's, like, literally the arse end of the world. Like, it's... You go there, it's amazing. It's untouched nature, and like you go out into the bush there, it's got like some sort of magical, sort of mystical thing going on that there have been like movies or stories told where, you know, convicts would just get lost in there and they just would never seen again, sort of thing, because it's just that dense and rich in nature. But so I guess you could say that was all settled. The only place in Australia that wasn't settled as a sort of, you know, as a, I guess, under a convict state or something, was South Australia. That was actually built by, what's the guy's name? I can't remember the guy's name. This is really how bad I am with my history, but Colonel Light, I think. Yeah, Colonel Light, sorry. He settled that city in Adelaide, and he actually built it on a grid pattern. If you sit up on the top of Adelaide, it's like just a grid, interlocking grid of like roads and stuff. Mm-hmm. So the culture and history there is a little bit different to maybe the other states.
Now, do they still have was it the dingo line?
The dingo line.
Was it like fences or something to keep dingoes out?
Yeah, they do.
This is as much about Australia as I know. Dingoes.
Yeah, no, dingoes, yeah. There's
bushrangers.
Yeah, it depends where you go in Australia. I know up in the middle of Australia, there's obviously dingoes, and there's that whole Lindy Chamberlain thing, like the dingo stole my baby type thing that went on there too. But the dingoes, I actually went to an island up here, sort of up above Brisbane, called Fraser Island. It's a World Heritage listed island, and you can only access it via driving onto a barge, and it takes you across the water, and then you drive onto it with your four-wheel drive.
Right.
And there's lots of dingoes there. They're quite there's quite a lot, to the point if you're camping on there, you have to lock up all your food at night.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like rangers that come around and they make sure that you're doing the right thing. But we were driving on the beach and stuff, and there's just dingoes like walking by us, you know, just all friendly and stuff. Obviously, I don't go near them, but feed them and stuff, because that provokes them even more to come back and get more food.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is that too. So I'm digressing here.
It's all about, you know, it's educational for everybody. Yeah. I mean, not everybody's not everybody knows as much as you do about Australia. So I was going to ask you about, are you still in touch with Jack and Alex?
A little bit here and there. I've noticed they were on the Amazing Race Australia. Was that correct?
Yeah, really briefly. Yeah.
Briefly, because I saw some posters the other day. I'm like, oh, they're not on the poster. Did they lose or something?
No, I think they. I don't know their story. I thought watching. They dropped out. Yeah. I believe
they dropped out
rather quickly. I think on their own.
Okay. Right.
Here I'm talking.
Okay, no.
And then on the next issue, on the next episode, no, I'm.
Yeah.
Amazing Race Australia. That's what we're going to talk about. They were our creative twins that we featured in our newsletter. So I was like, you know, keep track of them a little bit.
Yeah. I did reach out to them after they were on your newsletter, and they're very grateful to have the exposure and, you know, be on that. They were quite chuffed. So
all 6 or 7 people that read it. But that's, you know, we were trying to, you know, talk about people like, as our, my sons are, you know, creative twins.
Yes.
So we spread the love, but it was good.
It's fantastic. Yeah. I like it. Yeah. It's good.
So you're not really, you're not in touch with them that much?
I'm not regularly, no. Like every now and then I'll reach out and see how they're going and stuff like that. So,
If you talk to them, say we asked how they're doing.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. Yeah.
So we've talked about your new Kickstarter and your new lifestyle. Is there anything else you want to pass on?
No. I'll just say there's a lot being... Like, for all the people that are watching, or I don't know how many people are watching, there's probably only one fan of mine that's watching, but for those that are watching, the next book is definitely coming. I haven't forgotten about it. I'm riding every night now in the caravan at night. It's quite interesting. Like, my son sort of just sleeps here, and he's a really good sound sleeper, and I just sit here, and I'll sit outside if it's not cold or anything, and I'll write my comic book. I'll get my pages done. So yeah, I feel like going on this adventure is going to bring more comic book stories to life, especially with the Bush Ranger saga and that so forth.
That's it.
For sure.
That does sound like very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
So if people wanted to follow you on your adventure, you say your wife has a blog?
She does. I'll just get the... So it's... simply-julianne.com.
Julianne. How you spell and Julianne?
So Julianne is JulieAnn.com.
I'm just trying to make
Julie. So J-U-L-I-E-A. AANN.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so people can
simply-julianne.com. Yeah. So if people want to have a look and say.
Sounds like very interesting. And how will they keep up with you?
With me? So I have, obviously, on Instagram is probably the best thing. My handle there is Angry Fred Comics on Instagram. And my personal Instagram is Lucas Shafilm. So Shafilm, so S-C-H-E-F-F-I-L-M.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep a track on there. Or if people just want to get on my email list, go to angryfredcomics.com and just sign up to my email list. And you can keep up to date on the progress of Viva Los Angry, that comic book, and any other comics I have in the pipeline, such as the Bush Ranger stuff. So, yeah.
Okay, great. So we want to thank you for being on the show. So until next
time. Thank you for having me.
I'm David Hankins.
I'm Paul Hankins.
And this has been On the Air with Power Squared.